I want to take you to the book of Jeremiah. I heard this morning loud and clear. Jeremiah chapter 11. Jeremiah chapter 11.
That's my buddy.
Your buddy, huh? Well, let's face it, he went through some real difficult times. So, Jeremiah chapter 11, shows us a little bit of what happens in the church, if you relate it to what he's doing right now. It's headed in the NIV with, "The covenant is broken." So that headline gives you a clue of the chapter that is to follow. And it comes in a beautiful way because, again, the word of the Lord to me many times was to obey and not to look to the left or to the right, but to listen to what he wanted me to do. This is the word that came to Jeremiah, verse 1, from the Lord. "Listen to the terms of this covenant and tell them to the people of Judah and to those who live in Jerusalem. Tell them that this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Cursed is the man who does not obey the terms of this covenant, the terms I commanded your forefathers when I brought them out of Egypt, out of the iron smelting furnaces. I said, obey me." Excuse me. "Obey me and do everything I command you, and you will be my people, and I will be your God. Then I will fulfill." Notice again the word "then." Why is that word there? Because it's conditional.
Yeah. Okay. A lot of people don't like that.
No. "Then I will fulfill the oath I swore to your forefathers." So it goes back to the heritage. All right? "To give them a land flowing with milk and honey, the land you possess today. I answered, amen, Lord." Notice he's in full agreement. "The Lord said to me, proclaim all these words in the towns of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. Listen to the terms of this covenant and follow them. From the time I brought your forefathers up from Egypt until today, I warned them again and again, saying, obey me." Doesn't say try me, it says obey me. "But they did not listen or pay attention. Instead," I love this part, "they followed the stubbornness of their evil hearts." Just because they did that doesn't mean I have to do it. Amen? "So I brought on them all the curses of the covenant, and I had commanded them to follow, but they did not keep. Then the Lord said to me, there is a conspiracy among the people of Judah and those who live in Jerusalem. They have returned to the sins of their forefathers, who refuse to listen to my word. They have followed other gods to serve them. Both the house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken the covenant I made with their forefathers. Therefore, this is what the Lord says, I will bring on them a disaster they cannot escape. Although they cry out to me, I will not listen to them." You need to really pay attention to that verse. "There are some in the religious realm that are crying out for God, and God is what?
Not listening.
Why?
Because they're not listening.
Not according to his heart.
Huh?
Not according to his heart.
Correct. "The towns of Judah," verse 12, "and the people of Jerusalem will go and cry out to the gods to whom they burn incense, but they will not help them. At all, when disaster strikes, you have as many gods as you have towns, O Judah, and the altars you have set up to burn incense to that shameful god Baal are as many as the streets of Jerusalem. I'm going to stop there for a pause for a moment. When the Holy Spirit began to teach me about the intensity of the invasion of our land from Baal and Baal worship and the byproducts of Baal worship, also what are the demands of these foreign gods, if you wish, not the God of Israel. I had a discussion with my brother, who's 18 months older than me, so I'm supposed to respect him, but he reminds me that if I don't, I'll pay a price. But if he was right here, I would still share this. He was having a difficult time. There were circumstances in his business situation, his home situation, family situation, and I kept telling him that he needed to wake up to see how every area that he lived in was surrounded by worship to different gods, not the God that I serve. Not the Most High, not the Lord Jesus Christ, etc. So we had several discussions on this subject over a period of maybe a year and a half. And so he said, Kim, he says, you're going way overboard. He said, you know, he said, the towns where I live, he says, you know, they've all got nice holy names, and St. Elizabeth is the name of one, St. this one is a name of another one, and another one this, and St. Christopher, and St. Paul, and St. whatever. And he says, and they have these beautiful statues, he says, you know. I said, buddy, you're way off course. These are all demonic things. It can't be.
Boy, I'm glad.
That was close, right? Did you notice I did it right
yes,
this way?
You did.
Okay.
Yes.
I notice now you're on the job. So, it's a beautiful summer afternoon. His wife says, there's a great big festival, the Saint whatever. And it's a town that's maybe 35, 40 minutes away from where he lives. There's a gorgeous church in that town, and Nicole is aware of it. And Gaston says, let's do it. It's going to be fun, you know, festival, good food, nice place, blah, blah, blah. So I'll never forget it because it was so dramatic. They have this beautiful driving camper. They drive to the town. They park on the town green. And they're about to get out of the camper. And my brother can't move. He says, Nicole, you need to pray for me. So she tries to pray for him and nothing. He is frozen in the driver's seat. He can't get up. He is literally frozen. In front of him, when he lifted up his head, is this huge statue of a woman, all gold.
Oh.
And of course, the name of the church, okay?
Prayer Lady of Fatima.
Not going to say a word.
Okay.
I'm protecting your arm.
Okay. Don't say it again.
So, he said, there's something weird here going on. And so now they're both praying in the spirit because they don't know what to do. And so he said, all of a sudden he started to hear my words in his head about these false names of towns, churches, dedicated statues, the whole nine yards about idols. Okay? So he said, I had a double anointing. I was angry and I was questioning and he could hear his own words accusing me of going overboard. Okay? So, he finally, after I don't know how long, but they prayed, they called upon the blood of Jesus, they did everything. He still couldn't move. Could not budge. Finally, I'm not positive whether Nicole called me then or after it was over. I don't remember. Asked for prayer, and I said, you need to repent. You need to change your mind. Oh. So they did the repentance. They prayed. They asked God for grace. He says, by this time, they're starved. They've got no food in the camper. So when they literally asked God to forgive them of being a part of that, they asked for grace to be able to at least get some food. And the Lord said, go get some food, but remember what you've learned today. So now let's go back. Verse 14. Do not pray for this people, nor offer any plea or petition for them, because I will not listen when they call to me in their time of distress. What is my beloved doing in my temple? As she works out her evil schemes with many, can consecrated meat avert your punishment? When you engage in your wickedness, then you rejoice. The Lord called you a thriving olive tree, the fruit beautiful in form. But with the roar of a mighty storm, he will set it on fire, and its branches will be broken. The Lord Almighty, who planted you, has decreed disaster for you because the house of Israel and the house of Judah have done evil and provoked me to anger by burning incense to Baal. Because the Lord revealed their plot to me, I knew it. For at that time, he showed me what they were doing. I had been like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. I did not realize that they had plotted against me, saying, let us destroy the tree and its fruits. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name be remembered no more. But, O Lord Almighty, you who judge righteously and test the hearts and the minds, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. After my brother and I got together, we went deeper in the understanding, because he repented. He says, I was really mad at you because I couldn't believe that our ancestors had failed so miserably in so many years and so many generations being caught in deception. I said, yeah, but it's not up to us to judge them where they were. It's up to us to pray for them to be set free and ask God to forgive them because they didn't realize what they were doing. And they followed because that was their background. So even though they made mistakes, doesn't say it's okay for us to continue in their mistakes. Okay? And Baal worship is Baal worship. Okay? So you understand the committing of the responses are up to the Lord when you see someone that's deceived. It's not up to you and me to fix them. Because God will. God knows where and how the hearts of each person is involved. How much they're controlled by their emotions is really up to that individual. The stories I've told you about Pastor Gino, about my brother, about myself, I was in the same boat. I'm not going to say that I wasn't. And it took a while for me to learn, hey, wait a minute, who am I going to follow? Is there this much deception? How deep does the deception go? And the answer is, I don't think we have any clue to the levels of deception and the perversion that's out there of multiples of levels. witchcraft that's going on behind the scenes? None of us know that. The front looks good. The statues are all gold. Okay? And I'm not against people having something that reminds them of God. That is not what I'm after. What I'm after is the heart of a man or a woman that's caught in that stuff. And how do you get them free? Well, you can't do it. It's not your job. Your job is to lift them up to the Lord, because again, it says, 20, verse 20, but O Lord Almighty, you who judge righteously and test the hearts and minds. He does the testing, not you. It's not you to grill them. Because you know what you're going to do? You're going to grill them in the wrong direction. Let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. And if there's a salvation available, God will do it. God will set them free. God will educate them. But we want to help them. 21. Therefore, this is what the Lord says about the men of Anathoth, who are seeking your life and saying, do not prophesy in the name of the Lord, or you will die by our hands. Therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty says, I will punish them. Their young men will die by the sword, and their sons and daughters by famine. Not even a remnant will be left to them, because I will bring disaster on them, on the men of Anathoth, in the year of their punishment. If you don't keep that in mind, you're in trouble. In the year of their punishment. Why? In the year of their punishment means that God is going to give them a season to wake up.
I was just going to ask you that. So there's a season.
There's a season of education. There's a season where they're going to sit and they're going to be tested. Just like I told you about my brother. He was angry at me for identifying where he was caught in adultery or idolatry. It's both. Okay? When you're making out with idols and you're supporting idols, what are you doing? You're having intercourse. Those demons are intercoursing with you. They're communicating with you. They're getting you to submit to them. And I'm not angry at them. I'm just saying, who are we to put our trust in? Who are we to put our faith in? But the Lord Jesus. He is the one that died on that cross. It's not these other individuals. It's not the worship of saints. It's whether they've got the, you know, I love St. Paul, Minnesota. Well, is it really the St. Paul you and I know? Or are they worshiping? Are you catching on? How about St. Louis? Okay. You can, is it the St. Louis that maybe is of traditions? Yeah, they pick names out of a book and then they worship the spirit that's behind it, which is idolatry.
Is that what the spirit of Baal is?
Yeah.
The spirit of Baal is idol worship. And it is, let's say, very diversified. Okay? That's probably the best word. I can share with you that in 99, Gail and I were the two nosy ones. Okay? I'm confessing her sin along with mine. Okay? We are at the headwaters of the Jordan River. You remember that one?
Very well.
And so the headwaters has a big cave, huge cave. Probably as large as this, that's visible with an entrance area. Oh, it must be 30 feet, 40 feet wide, right? And in that cave, you can see springs coming out, water coming out. In the front of the cave, about maybe 25, 30 feet, there's sections with little pathways in between, like sidewalks that you can walk. And there's like a pool. And it's got some greens and stuff, you know, growing. And there's like I would say from the place of the depth of the cave, it must be at least another 30, 40 feet out. And then you have all these pools, maybe 10 of them or maybe more. Anyway, it was quite a large area. So our tour guide explained to us that there would be human sacrifice offered to Baal. And the demonic spirits at the headwaters of the Jordan. And this is what would happen. They would kill a virgin in the cave. And if the blood of that individual showed up in one of the pools that start the flow of the water, then it was an acceptable sacrifice. If the blood didn't spring up, then they would kill another one, and another one, until the blood would show up, and that was their sign.
Oh, my goodness.
That's common sense. No, if you kill enough people, you're going to get enough blood in the water.
Well, I know, but what I'm showing you is the beginning of Baal worship had its purpose, okay? So, on the back of the cave, there's a mountain. I said to Gail, don't know why, but there's something up here. And she says to me, yeah, I feel it. I said, there's a gate. I hit you again. I did say it.
I'm gonna
put Gail there next time. I said to Gail, let's go up there, okay?
Let's get the legs of that.
So there's a gate, there's a lock on the gate. And I said, Lord, you're not telling us not to go up there. Even if there's a gate, there's gotta be a way. And sure enough, I don't remember the details, but we went further up or something and there was an opening and we went through. And there was a building on top.
Yeah.
Okay?
The building.
Okay. So we finally get to the top. And I said to her, there's witchcraft going on up here. There's witchcraft going on up here. I can tell, I know that I know. And sure enough, we peeked through the window and there was paraphernalia in there and there was demon worship going on in there now, 99. Not last year. I didn't hit you this time. Okay. But the bottom line was that there was like a knowing inside. The radar was running. You understand?
Yep.
Her radar was running. I said, are you happy? Yes, she says, I'm happy I went because it confirms what we didn't want to believe. Demon worship happens today.
Mm-hmm. They're in the churches.
Mm-hmm. But they're in the churches, chairs. But they don't know. They think they're worshiping the God that they have been presented.
Right.
Okay? And I'm not trying to put guilt on anybody. I am saying that they need a deliverance from what they're